Hey, comedy fam, if you like the comedy advice on this podcast, you are going to love our newsletter. I send out weekly newsletters with comedy tips, updates on our live streams, and a lot more. So join it, linked in the show notes.
Well, anybody, I would email clubs. I emailed Last Comic Standing and just gave them, I said, hey, here's my tape. I didn't think it'd work. I wasn't even sure that was the email that they used, but that's just what I do all the, like when I'm sitting at home before a show, that's what I do. And that one just happened to work. I mean, I've sent emails to everybody within reason. I'm not emailing Conan, but I heard a couple people got in to Last Comic Standing just through email. So I was like, well, I'll email them.
Hot breath. Howdy. Ho. Hot breath of verse. Yes, we are back. Happy Thanksgiving to all of you hot brethren and sistren out there. Yes, this is your host, comedian Joel Byers. And you know what time it is. Hot breath. Yes, I hope this hot breath-isode finds you enjoying some Thanksgiving leftovers if you're listening to this right after Thanksgiving. This episode today is going to follow that theme and be a nice hot breath leftover serving for you. Because last week's guest, Caleb Sinan, came back for the second time, dropped a lot of good insight about how he booked Conan twice and was in Just for Laughs and all that within like 3 years of moving to LA. So he had a lot of good insight for comics. And I referenced going back in time, checking out his first interview with us, which was all the way back in number 2. So based on the analytics, most of you didn't do that. A very minor minority of you did that. But I know you enjoy this podcast, and I know you would love to hear the episode, but I also know you love convenience more. So what I decided to do today is actually just post this as a hot breath leftover for you here in the theme of Thanksgiving. So today's episode is actually our second interview ever posted. We're throwing it back all the way to Caleb's first interview. This is literally the week of him moving to LA. And like you heard us mention in his second interview, I actually picked him up from the MARTA station so that we can then go record this interview. It's a really good one. I think it's really good, especially for newer comics. And this is diving into the mindset of a comedian who is just about to take that leap into moving to that LA, or, you know, some people move to New York, but it's getting inside his mindset and really his origin story, but also just what his goals are. And you can actually see how they have come to fruition. It's very inspiring, and I think this is going to be a fun one for you just to kind of revisit. And if you do enjoy Caleb, I do have some bonus content on our Patreon page that is linked in the show notes, patreon.com/hotbreathpod, where he came to my comedy class and did almost an hour of Q&A from like newer comedians just asking him just whatever they want about comedy and how he got to where he is and insights he had. He had a lot of good stuff. He goes into more detail about actually writing for a TV show and what that hustle's all about and that all-day grind. But if you're interested in more, you know, there's a lot of more educational stuff over on our Patreon page. You can definitely go check that out. But in the meantime, in between time, we're going to get into this. And so that being said, hot brethren and sistren, there is only one thing left to do. Oh, and stay tuned in the outro because we have a great, great, great guest next week that is right on theme with Thanksgiving. So hang out in the outro. And there is now only one thing left to do. And that is inhale a hot breath with Caleb Sinan.
All right. If you could say your full name into the microphone.
Caleb Sinan.
Caleb Sinan. Thanks for being on the show, buddy.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So you moved to Atlanta around 2 years ago from Athens?
Yeah. It was more like three now. I moved in the summer of 2012.
Mm-hmm.
It's, I guess, about 3 years ago.
And in the short amount of time you've been in Atlanta, I mean, you've already come in second in the Laughing Skull Festival. You've been on the Bob and Tom nationally recognized comedy radio station. And you just recently headlined AthFest, the Athens Festival out there at the Georgia Theater. Mm-hmm. How have you been able to accomplish so much in such a short amount of time?
Well, I think almost all of that is due to the scene here. Because it's lucky, but I also knew that, so I went and became part of it. I knew that there's something special going on in Atlanta, so I moved here from Athens, and it was right around the time that all the Beards of Comedy moved. And so I got to meet them right before they left. So when they left and had all these open spots at the clubs, they would recommend me. So I got a lot of stage time really quickly, which is really important when you're not very good.
Mm-hmm.
So that helped. And it's also, I mean, you have to do, and until you have an agent and a manager, you have to kind of do everything yourself. And it feels kind of gross, but I would do it. I would email people and be like, hey, here's my tape. Can I do this? And 1 in 10 might respond. But I mean, if in Atlanta, I feel like stage time is the thing. So I would try and get as much as I could. And you can get a crazy amount here.
Mm-hmm. And when you say you would email people your tape and everything, like who specifically? Just in the city or around the Southeast?
Well, anybody. I would email clubs. I emailed Last Comic Standing and just gave them, I said, hey, here's my tape. I didn't think it'd work. I wasn't even sure that was the email that they used. But that's just what I do all the, like when I'm sitting at home before a show, that's what I do. And that one just happened to work. I mean, I've sent emails to everybody mm-hmm. within reason. I'm not emailing Conan, but I heard a couple people got in to Last Comic Standing just through email, so I was like, well, I'll email them. I hoped that it was the right thing, but I don't know if they're still doing that, but
yeah.
They probably aren't, since I'm telling people, but I think I can tell people that.
Yeah. How long did it take them to respond?
A few weeks. I mean, I'd forgotten about it because mm-hmm. I send so many emails, but I couldn't believe it. They're like, yeah, that's funny. Who are you?
Wow.
And I still had to audition like everybody else, but that's how I got an audition. And I would email, like, that's how you can get on a lot. If you have a good tape mm-hmm. and people see it and they're like, oh, okay. Because, I mean, I'm sure you've had this, you've run shows, and if you're like, oh, that person's funny, sure, you can do my show. And
mm-hmm.
It helps to have a good tape.
And a good tape, is this a tape of you at a club or just at like a bar situation?
I have, the ones I've been using are one of me at the Laughing Skull, and then there's one of me at Epic Comedy Hour. You've done Epic Comedy mm-hmm. Hour. It's just crazy good.
Great show.
Show, and they tape it for you. I didn't even, and I think that's why the tape was, both of those I didn't know were being taped, mm-hmm. which is, I think, the key to a good tape. Because if you know it's being taped, you're up there and you're like, ooh. But, yeah, I wish I could get taped more often without my knowledge.
Is that just because you're nervous if you are being taped? Are you self-conscious?
Well, because you're thinking of it as you're doing it for a tape instead of for the audience, and which is never as funny.
Mm-hmm.
And it's less natural, and you're not loose. You know, and I'm sure you know, I've seen you do sets. You want to go out there and have fun, and you want to, you know, maybe, hey, what's up with this guy? Or, hey, whoa, on the way here or something. But if you're doing a tape, you just go out there and you're like, I'm me, and here's Joe. And it's,
right.
Sometimes I think the audience is like, what's he trying to do? And I think it kind of feels less genuine.
Did you find yourself in that kind of robot mode when you were doing Last Comic Standing?
Half and half. Cause man, that set, it had to be 3.5 minutes exactly. They're like, don't go under, don't go over.
Wow.
And it was a great crowd. It was like a theater with like 500 people in it.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's really bizarre cause they don't let you watch anyone else. And there's spraying hairspray on you and makeup, and you're, you know, it's very strange. You know, you've been on the set for hours and hours, and like this 5 seconds before you walk out on that stage, someone has like is like clicking stuff in your pants with microphones, and they're spraying and they're dabbing on your face and touching you all over, making you look nice, and they're like making sure your shirt is still ironed. And I've never experienced anything like it, and it's definitely not the atmosphere for you to be naturally loose and funny. And that you have to submit your set and make sure there's no cursing, there's no, you know, you can't be like, you can't have some big anti-NBC joke or your bit about how you know what I mean? So they have to run it through you. So it's, you're definitely, and it's also, that's the set you auditioned with, usually.
Yeah.
So it's a set you know really well, but, and you walk out there and it's like, oh man, Roseanne's got a new haircut. Oh, there's Norm MacDonald. Oh man, look at, and so, and you see them very clearly. They're right there. Uh-huh. Oh, the judges. And you're, during your jokes, you're like, did Norm like that one? Did who? And then, right after you do it, like, you feel great. You're like, TV, like, it was a big deal for me.
Yeah.
And then right after that, they all tell you how they felt about it, which is so strange. Mostly people just say good set or what, or they don't say anything.
Right.
But when it's, you know, Norm being like, that was good. And so celebrities are saying how they, and there's cameras and everybody gets to hear it. And, that was to go from, oh, TV to, oh, okay, I need to work on that. Cool. So that was very strange.
Have you applied those suggestions?
I have. I mean, most of their suggestions were how to do a set on television.
Interesting.
Which.
So when you're talking about performing on TV, like, are you supposed to address the cameras as opposed to actual people in the audience?
A little bit. You should play to the camera because that's who you should worry about. And they can edit, they have time to edit or whatever. So even if that crowd doesn't dig you, I'm sure they can add stuff. But and to do things like shorter versions of jokes. And I had one joke that, now that I'm looking back at it, was too long for that set.
Mm-hmm.
And I even then I knew, like, oh, let's do a shorter version, this. But I don't think I realized just how, you know, boom, 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 boom it needed to be. And it went well, but if you've never done TV, there's some things you just don't know.
Right.
You know.
I spoke with Mia Jackson, another Atlanta comic, mm-hmm. who's on Last Comic Standing, and her preparation was just tedious. She said she would be on the phone just running sets with, like, friends and other comics, and like constantly just running over it in her head. Did you find yourself over?
Yeah, I definitely did. Especially for your first TV thing to also be a competition is a lot of added things, and to do it with critiques immediately after it, and that it's such a long process because the whole thing's, you know, started in August, September for me, and then they taped in March, but the whole thing took forever. And I feel like if I could do it again, I would have thought about it less.
Yeah.
Cause I don't know if the extra thoughts help, or maybe I don't know, but I did, obviously every single day I feel like changing the way I made coffee this morning. I feel like I didn't, you know, so, but I really enjoyed it and it went well, but I do wish I had. Because that's never the way to be funniest is to, well, what you want to do is think about it for a year, you know?
Like, right.
You should just be more natural.
Well, one of your strengths, besides being one of the funniest people in the city, is your ability to network. You really have seems to be a natural ability that people gravitate towards you. Were you able to carry that into Last Comic Standing and network there?
I think it helped a little bit. Well, I don't, a lot of comedians have the, oh, you know, if you're a comedian, you're awkward and you're mm-hmm. tears of a clown, all these things that I guess apply to some, but I mean, I like hanging out. I don't hate, I mean, I don't, you know, most people I don't like, but I mean, I like some folks and, I don't mind having fun. And I hate to think of it as networking, but it's like I legitimate, like if it's a comedian I like, I'll be like, man, like because every all my friends now, I saw them do stand up before I was friends with them. When I saw Dave Stone, I was like, mm-hmm. that guy, I want to be friends with him. He seems cool. He's hilarious. Because that's the way I lived my life before. Like, I was friends with the class clown because, oh, man, Casey's the funniest guy in school. I want to be friends with him. But then in stand-up, there's business involved with it and stuff. So some people are like, ooh, networking. But I'm just like, no, I just want to be friends with the funny people. You know, I'd love to be friends with Ron White, but he's famous and stuff. So, and you can't just go to someone and tell them, let's be friends as adults.
Right.
So,
weren't you voted wittiest of your high school?
I was voted wittiest, mm-hmm. which I didn't really expect because usually wittiest goes to the guy who streaks across the field and like pours water on himself and, you know, that guy and paints himself with all the games. And that's every year at our school. But then my year, I was the only guy that was just like, yeah, I'm just the sarcastic guy. I wasn't like the class clown or anything, which I think upset some people because they're like, what about the guy that takes his dick out? He's cool.
I mean, you've come a long way if you're going from wittiest, starting off being homeschooled, you know. I mean, a lot of times, you know, it's quite an acclimation process going from being homeschooled to just jumping into
it. I didn't have it as bad as my oldest sister was homeschooled until sixth grade or mm-hmm. something. Like, she went from homeschool to middle school. And I went from homeschool to second grade. So it was still a lot of, whoa, okay, this is different. I didn't know that everyone at school wasn't a Christian because everyone at homeschool was because mm-hmm. There wasn't an option. They just, we're all Christians here. Mm-hmm. You're all my children, so you do these things. And so that was a big one when I was like, I didn't know you couldn't tell on people for not, you know, going to church or whatever. Like I would tell on people for everything. Cause I was like, oh, well he did something. He's not doing, I didn't know that people didn't follow the rules of the Bible at school. so that was a weird one for me, but yeah, I can't imagine. My older sister was homeschooled for way more years.
Do you remember when you learned that everybody isn't Christian? Do you remember that moment in your life?
Yeah, it was second grade. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, okay. And I didn't even know, like, the super conservative way I was brought up was, you know, conservative, Christian, evangelical, like, the whole thing. So my parents would even do, like, I'd be like, is Bill Clinton a Christian? Which he is. And they'd be like, no, he's not. He's just saying that. Like they would be, they would, like, you don't get to choose if you're a Christian at my family's house. They'll tell you if you are or not. And be like, I'm a Christian. They'll be like, nah. You're not doing it good enough. So, like, they're even another level. So it's like you can tell on someone for not being a good enough Christian, which is crazy.
Wow.
So, yeah, if somebody was just lying, I'd tell on them which there's no rule in school against just lying, I don't think. Or, you know, or coveting. Yeah, that's not against the rules.
Mm-hmm. You have two sisters and a brother.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess you all grew up with the father. Your father was a preacher,
mm-hmm.
correct? So, I mean, how has that influenced your comedy? Because you don't really edit yourself, it seems. It doesn't seem like you take your Christian background into account to your comedy.
Well, I don't know. That's kind of one of those. It's the Christian thing is very strange because there's a lot of weird things people just added on recently. Like you're not supposed to have sex before you're married, but even once you're married, you're supposed to pretend sex doesn't exist. Like you're just supposed to gloss it. Like we'd be watching Everybody Loves Raymond and Raymond would get in the bed with his wife and my mom would want to change the channel. And I'd be like, they're not just going to start having sex. This is CBS. Like clearly they're just about to speak to each other and the lights are going to go out. Like,
mm-hmm.
but even marital sex is, you know, seems bad. Like you're supposed to pretend sex doesn't exist and we're not going to talk about it and we don't go to the bathroom either. It's all these weird things that I'm just like, well, that's not in that's not part of it. And so I definitely don't dig any of that stuff, which kind of clashes with my parents. But I'm not going to sit around and pretend that sex isn't real, you know.
Does your mom work in the church as well?
She does. She does like the they project lyrics on the screen and she changes the slides and, you know, she's like the first lady of the church.
Oh, wow.
And so she does all those kind of things. And she's really funny. She'll go up and do announcements and things like that. And sometimes she'll do like a guest message. And she's really good. She's really funny. She's very strict and, you know, straight-laced, but she's pretty funny.
Yeah, you have a great joke about her calling you crying your joke to you.
And she saw that video of me telling the joke about her crying the joke. and then my sister called me one time and was like, hey, I want to talk about your stand-up, my younger sister. And she was like, and I don't want you to write a joke about what we're about to talk about. So people know that. And I'm like, it's funny. Like, I'm going to, if you do something hilarious telling me about my stand-up, I'm going to say it because I think it's funny.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just Christian people. It's everybody. Other comedians want to tell you how to tell your jokes and bloggers want to tell you and Booker. I did a club. I won't say which club it is because I want to do it again. But I did one club where he was like, all right, be clean. Don't say the F word on the first show. On the second show, you can say the F word, but only a couple times. I want you to do adult themes, but not too raunchy. And I was just like, dude, you hired me to come. Like, why don't you go up and do that then? You just headline your club. Like, it's just like, dude, leave me alone a little bit. I know how to do this. Mm-hmm. I'm not the best in the world, but I know how to do my stand up. You know, mm-hmm. Some people get too into. My parents are cool now, but there was a while where they're like, man, you're saying foul language up there. And I was like, yeah.
Was there like a boiling point where you guys had kind of a one-on-one about it?
Not really. I mean, they are, it's just, the way I told it to them was like, hey, this is, you know, this is our relationship. You're my parents. I'm your son. I don't talk to you the way I talk to our grandparents. And I don't talk to you the way I would talk to my friends. Like, there's just a certain way you speak to people, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, the thing I'm doing, this is like the way I hang. There's a reason I don't invite my parents to sleepovers. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It ruined, like, and that's what my stand-up is. It's not for my parents. It's not a family. Like, and that's what I wanted. That's why I want to do stand-up, because of the way me and my friends interacted, not the way me and my parents interacted. And so I think now, and especially with Last Comic Standing, they're like, oh, okay, he's doing something fine,
right?
But it's definitely not there, you know. They don't want to go to a place with smoke and drinks, and you know, it's most stand-up is not conservative Christian friendly,
right?
So even if it's clean, it's still going to be people being like, the way these people think is dumb. It's like, yeah, that's us. So I don't think they would enjoy it, but they're not mad anymore. There was, for a little bit, it was just like, because when I started, I was 19, so they're still, I'm still a kid to them. So they're just like, whoa, I didn't even know you thought about these things. Oh, well, yeah.
When you first started out, did you find yourself trying to emulate maybe some performance cues your dad would use while preaching?
Oh, for sure. My dad was a huge, and he's really good at preaching. I don't agree with everything he says, but mm-hmm. he's very good at, he does an hour every week, you know?
Yeah.
He's not going for laughs, but he is, you know, driving home points, setting things up. So there are some things and sometimes I'll still go back and watch him do a sermon
mm-hmm.
and I'm like, man, that's a really good way to, like Chris Rock talks about that. Like he loves watching preachers because, and if you watch Chris Rock, you're like, oh, he does do kind of that kind of thing. When you're preaching, it's more applause breaks and amens instead of laughs. But it is good. And stand-up, like Bill Burr does that too, when you're just like, yeah, like you really agree. And you're like, yeah, he's making a good point, you know. Or even if you don't agree, you still have to respect the point. Like, I don't agree with everything Patrice O'Neill says, but I love how much he commits to it. And he really believes what he says, you know.
You're taking doing stand-up coming from the background you do, it seems to be quite a somewhat rebellious route. Have your other siblings kind of going off in similar trajectories?
Well, it's definitely a level, whatever the four levels of rebellion are, that's the four of us. We all, that's the scale. My youngest sister is the least rebellious. She still lives in the place where my parents, where we grew up. She's teaching little kids now, and, you know, very, same sort of thing, very churchy, traditional, you know, promise ring, let's keep it pure, all that stuff. And my older brother, he's in the Navy now, and, like, he went to Georgia Tech, and he was like, let's get out of here, I'm going to Atlanta, and he was all, you know, he was very rebellious. He was even, when he was young, he was always been the most rebellious person. He would slam his finger. He like slammed his finger in a cabinet one time. And my mom goes, Gabe, don't do that. Cause you know, it hurts.
Yeah.
And he, even though it hurt him, he was like, she told me not to do it. I'm going to do it again. So he would disobey and hurt himself just to, cause he just loved to disobey. And, I'm not that rebellious. You know, but I do like doing stand up, and I like drinking and hanging out and doing all the things they said not to do. But I mean, some of the things are right, like smoking cigarettes is not a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I tried that when I was allergic to them. So
you were allergic to cigarettes.
Mm-hmm. It's not that bad now, but it used to be like I couldn't like. But I still was like, yeah, they told me not to do it. Let me try it. But they were right about some of the things, but. I think some of it is dumb.
Well, now, in just a few days now, you're planning to move to Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I mean, is that kind of like small town kid with big dreams? Has it always been Los Angeles for you?
I wanted to move to L.A. when I was in high school. I wanted to not go to college immediately, which I'm glad I'm moving now instead of then, because a high schooler screenplays are the worst things in the world. I really hope they're destroyed, because it's so embarrassing what I thought was a good screenplay. And I really didn't know how anything worked. It would have been bad, and I'd had to move back. But me and my friend were like, we had a plan out. We're like, we're going to drive to LA and we're going to hand them our screenplays, and they're going to be like, these are amazing. Let's make these movies. And, our parents found out about it. And we're like, guys, that's very stupid. And we got in trouble, and they're like, no, you're going to graduate and you're going to go to college. And I wish I had not gone to college, because I dropped out, and it was a waste of money for me, at least.
Which was UGA.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had a lot of fun living in a dorm. I'm happy to pay to live in a dorm for a year with college freshmen. That's very fun. And there's nothing like it. It's really, everyone should do that. But I really wish I could have just paid them to live in the dorm and not gone to any classes and just hung out and had that college. Because that was very useful socially for me. But the classes were, I slept in a lot of them and didn't. I only went for like a year and a half.
And then moved back home?
No, that's when I started stand-up. And I finished out the semester and then stopped and was like, it's stand-up. I can't, this is a waste of time. And then I moved to Atlanta, but. Yeah, it's not a. And my parents are. If it weren't for Last Comic Standing, I don't know how thrilled they'd be about it. But now they're like, oh, okay, this is a real. That was the first, like, even like, hey, mom, I came in second in the Laughing School. They're like, what? Like, the only thing that makes sense is, are you going to be on a TV show that I watched?
Right.
So, like, I could even tell them, hey, I'm on Louie, which is huge. Like, any comedian would be like, whoa, you're on Louie's show. But they'd be like, what? Because they don't watch that. They don't know. Mm-hmm. So that was a big... And now they're like, okay, he's really doing a stand-up. It's a career. It's not a dumb... He's not just going in there and talking about penises in front of strangers. I'm still doing that, but it's, you know... And they do think L.A. is where the devil lives, but,
mm-hmm.
you know...
That's why I wasn't sure... If you're deciding to move out there now because you have the affirmation from them and Last Comic Standing.
Well, I've wanted to move out there for the last 2 years. Once I thought it was New York for a long time. Once I started doing stand-up, I was like, because it was L.A. when I was in high school. And then once I started doing stand-up, I was like, oh, New York City. Because I was like, oh, Seinfeld and Louis. Like, yeah. And, you know, I visited New York like 6 times. I love it. It's the best. And then I went out to L.A. and, like, the during the first day I was there, I was like, oh, no, this is it. I didn't know. And I really loved it, and I loved the people out there and the shows and everything about it I really liked, other than the traffic, but Atlanta's got bad traffic too. So, but yeah, I once I visited, I was like, all right, well, let's plan. Me and my girlfriend were like, let's plan on moving there, and recently things have kind of lined up for that. And my parents really love my girlfriend a lot, so they're happy somebody's looking out.
When you visit New York 6 times, LA once, what did LA have that New York didn't?
Well, it always works out. Like, I've been doing the road a lot in the last year, and every headliner that I really clicked with, they're like, yeah, I'm out in LA. And I was just like, what? Like, there's some people in New York I really jive with, but most of them just happen to live there. And so I kind of started to notice that. And every time I would go to LA, I would have New York's very fun too, but I just had the amount of fun I had and the shows and the weather and everything. I just really liked the vibe there. I had a feeling there that I've never had anywhere else. Like, I just really loved the feeling of being there, and it was very exciting. I'm sure it's the way gay people feel when they meet another gay person. You know, it's like, it's the same feeling I had when I did stand up. Like, oh, this is it. Mm-hmm. I didn't know. Or, you know, and then going to LA, oh, this is where I want to live. I didn't know that's what it was. So it's hard to argue with something like that, where it's like, I would, like, if I got Saturday Night Live, I'd move to New York. But like, if it's just up to me, LA's just feels great.
You went on a national tour with Dave Stone, another Atlanta comic who is now based out of L.A. Mm-hmm. Most of the comics from Atlanta seem to be moving to New York. Dave is one of the few that picked L.A. Mm-hmm. Did him being out there have an influence on the decision?
Oh, for sure. He was the same way. He thought he was moving to New York. And then he visited L.A. and was like, oh, nope, it's here. And I didn't expect to have the same feel, but it was the exact same thing where I was like, oh, no, I'm moving. He's like, that's the exact same way it happened for me. And he's one of my best friends, so that's great that he's out there. And a lot of people choose New York, and I'm sure they had that feeling too when they went there. It was like, oh, this is where I need to be. So I can't really fault them for it. I mean, they're the two biggest cities, so clearly people like them. Mm-hmm. But for what I'd like to do, I really love TV and I really love movies, and that's what I'd like, you know, so I really want to be there, and I really just love that city too. And I hate being cold, but I could deal with it. I really like Chicago too. You ever been to Chicago?
I have been to Chicago. Oh,
that place in the summer is awesome. But you know, not as much industry there. But yeah, LA is just cool.
You have performed at Chicago as well, though.
Yeah, Chicago's awesome.
Yeah. I think with the Laugh Factory.
Yeah, that place is great. And they just, it's similar to Atlanta. There's tons of great shows. You can get tons of, I did 6 shows while I was there. Mm-hmm. I was only there for a couple days. And I just had so much fun. And the comics, it's similar to here, where it's fun and people just want to get good. And you can tell they love it. And they're not worrying about, you know, career things as much. There's still people here that do that, but it was a vibe. It was like Atlanta, but you know, Midwest, and their public transportation is awesome. And I really just dug that city. I hated it when I went in the winter, but I mean, I don't like anywhere in the winter. I don't like Atlanta in the winter. This last one was god awful.
One of the big differences, though, between Chicago and Atlanta is the amount of industry, not only here right now, but that is moving here. Mm-hmm. Is there not a part of you thinking, you know, maybe I could stay here? You know, it's projected Atlanta is going to become the second most populating city for industry above New York by like next year. I mean, is there a part of you like, well...
Well, there's part of me is that way. But for the most part, it's like, you know, I really like... like, there's been a couple times I almost got a movie role here. Like a one-line role in a movie they're filming here. Which would have been cool, and I would have been like, yeah, I'm doing this in Atlanta. But, mm-hmm. you know, whatever movie it was supposed to be, I can't remember, some Marvel thing. You know, but, like, I'm, you know, Paul Rudd isn't going to move to Atlanta to be an Ant-Man. You know what I mean? Like, he's, L.A.'s still where they're casting the things, and they'll film it here because it's cheaper, but... And they did the same thing in Wilmington where they had some weird discount. And so people started filming stuff there for a while. And it's great. And it's great for Atlanta to have. But it's hard to beat the capital for it. I mean, Atlanta's amazing. But, you know, there's still like, even though you could audition for Last Comic Standing here, that you still need to be out there to do it. You have to fly out there. You have to. And people in New York and Atlanta, when things start really going well, you're going to have to... And that's why so many people move there, because it's like, man, I'm flying to L.A., you know, 10 times a year for these things. And so there's a little of that. It would be really weird if it really did just switch, mm-hmm. and they're just like, all right, Hollywood's no... It's all in Atlanta now. But, I mean, I think Atlanta will just be a nice hub as well. But I don't know if it'll... I mean, it's been L.A. for the entire history of movies, so it won't switch. But I am excited for Atlanta to have more, which I think is great. And I mean, I'm still going to be here. I remember when Dave moved, saw him again a month later at the Laughing Skull. It's not mm-hmm. like I'm just switching addresses. I'm not giving up on Atlanta. You know, I still mm-hmm. want to be here. I'll be back in October. But.
Well, you follow. It seems that you follow your heart a lot. You know, you go to college per your parents' suggestion.
I didn't know you were allowed to not go.
Yeah.
It goes right from high school. Like, to me, it was just 13th grade. I didn't know I couldn't go to, until stand-up, I was like, oh, I can just not do this. I can just do this instead. But I think a lot of kids don't know you can just graduate high school and work for a little bit and save up. And not blow a bunch of money on a major you don't really want. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't really know I didn't have... Because I would always say that in high school, like, oh, I'm just not going to go. But I was kidding. I didn't know you really could just not go.
Yeah, but to make these are big decisions. I mean, you go to school, you drop out, you're like, okay, I'm doing stand-up now. Okay, I'm going to move to Atlanta now. And then doing stand-up full-time. A few years later of doing that, now you're like, okay, I'm going to L.A., the epicenter of everything. Ooh. I mean, do you think your background in faith kind of informs these extreme decisions?
Well, I'm sure. There's so many things where it's like, I'm sure that's a factor, but I don't have, like, I dropped out of college. I don't know anything about psychology or anything. I'm sure it does, but I just feel like when you know something, like, I knew Atlanta was very special and was having a really intense, special thing, similar to what happened in Chicago like 10 years ago with all that crew that's now huge.
Right.
And I was like, oh, these guys are amazing and very talented. Like, I went to Star Bar one time. Well, this is when I lived in Athens, and I was awful at I couldn't get any laughs at all. I didn't know why my friends were laughing at what I said and strangers weren't. I couldn't figure out what to do. And I went to Star Bar one time, had a terrible set, but I watched the rest of the show, and it was like Clayton English and Jared Harris and Dave Stone and Andy Sanford and Paul Galois, and it was an insane show, and everybody was just crushing it. Noah Garden-Schwartz, everybody, and I was like, oh, and they all live here? What? Like, I couldn't believe it. I didn't think that existed. I thought that was just in New York and L.A., and it was they're all amazing, and they're all doing big stuff and moving and shaking. I was like, I'm moving here as soon as I can. And I like when you just know something, like, I don't think of it as like jumping off a cliff. I was just like, I thought about it as driving to a city. Oh, this is where I'm going here. And then when things started pointing to LA, I was like, okay, well, let's go there. I mean, I don't think it's, I'm sure I would have felt the same way if I started stand up, you know, in Illinois and then was like, oh, Chicago. But it's, I mean, sometimes you just know something. It's just like getting in a relationship. Oh, this person's great. Let's hook up. Let's, but I mean, I could be wrong. I'm wrong about a lot of things, but I don't think I was wrong about Atlanta. I feel like it was a, I don't know if I could have gotten what I got anywhere else. I mean, this was really great. And I think it's great for a lot of comics. I think you get good here faster than almost anywhere. You really, unless you have some crazy, like your Jerry Seinfeld's son. I'm sure you get set up pretty well in New York. But
is there a specific event that happened that made you think, oh, I'm good enough to move to LA now?
Well, I still don't think I'm, I still think I got a lot of work to do, but, once people started, you know, saying that a lot, like, and you're just like, shut up, I'm having fun. But enough people were like, dude, and then I'd be like, ah, whatever. And they're like, no, I'm serious. Like, 'cause when you suck, nobody's like, move to LA. Like when I wasn't getting it, I realized when people, like when people started saying it, I was like, oh, okay, maybe they're right. And then people wouldn't shut up about it. And I was like, maybe they're right. And then I visited and was like, oh, I would just like to live here anyhow. This would be great. And the stand-up, you know. So, I mean, I don't know if it was a specific event, but after the Laughing Skull Festival, like I was so excited because that's why everybody applies to it, because you're like, oh, these bookers and these industry and TV, all these people are going to be watching me. Oh, I'm just going to be huge. I'm just going to kill it. And then I'm going to be famous. But everybody, I came in second. It was great. I did as well as I could have hoped to do.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody I met was like, they'd give me their card and be like, hey, well, let me know when you're in LA. And so I was like, oh, that's how it is. It's you. They're not going to uproot and be like, well, let's open up an office in Atlanta for Caleb. You know, they're going to be like, get your ass out here. You know, well, this is where we're at. So that kind of really opened up my eyes, like, oh, I might need to really move there. And that was about a year ago. And so this past year has been like, okay, let's, but I'm glad I had this past year of like doing the road a lot and, and I could get, I was more and more into the Atlanta scene and I love doing Cloud Nine and things that I hadn't done before really. And so I think that, cause I think I got a lot better in the past year that I don't think I could have gotten that much better doing 3 minutes at a LA open mic. And when you move there, you don't want to show up. You want to be good.
Right.
You don't want to be like, yeah, I'm working on some. You want to be like, yeah, I'm pretty good. And, you know, I'd still like to get better. But at a certain point, like if you're in LA, it's hard to get stage time if you're not big. And you can get tons of stage time in Atlanta if you're anybody. Like it's so much. So you're missing out on the stage time in LA. But at a certain point in Atlanta, you're getting the stage time, but you're missing out on all the, you know, bookings and TV things. So I feel like whenever that those lines cross and it's like, I'm getting the stage time, but I'm missing out. Like whenever you're missing something from the other city, I think is when it makes sense.
So do you feel like stand-up isn't enough anymore?
Oh, it's definitely still my favorite. But I would like a show, like the Georgia Theater show was crazy.
Right.
It was, all the seats were full. There's tons of people. I mean, it was, you're getting applause breaks and you're like, man, and there are people that knew me and friends of mine and it was a great crowd. And I, like, that's what I'd like for it to be every night. And for it to be like that's how it is for Kyle Kinane now, because he has fans and every city's like that. So, and he lives out there and it's like, you kind of need to be broadcast out there, either on TV or whatever, to have that sort of following. So, and that's what I'd like. Like, I feel like he has the sweetest gig there is. Like, every city he goes to, hundreds and hundreds, maybe sometimes 1,000 or more people are, can't wait to see him and fill up a theater. And it's, you know, you kind of have to go get yourself out there to accomplish that.
Well, you went to UGA for theater and film.
Mm-hmm.
Is that kind of a long-term goal? Stand up on the back burner, but really it's movies?
Well, ideally, every day, I like Like Jerry Seinfeld has the best setup ever. He goes and drinks coffee with his friends, and a camera crew comes, and they just give him money, and he already, you know, and then he gets checks from his sitcom, and then he goes out and does theaters at night, and can get on, like that, just, I would love to do stand-up every night, and then work on whatever project in the daytime, you know? If your day job is TV, and then at night you do stand-up, like, that's very ideal for me. So I'd love to get involved in some TV things. You know, just doing Last Comic Standing, like, it was, like, 7 hours on that lot filming, mm-hmm. and everybody, like, people were, like, looking at their sets, and like, oh, and I was like, I know this set. We had to submit every word, you know? Mm-hmm. So I was like, let's, you know, there's a camera crew right here. We look amazing. We got makeup, and our hair looks great, all this wardrobe, like, and they're, like, asking us, like, hey, do you want to talk to the, and so I was like, let's talk to the, who knows, you know? I love TV. And I want to do it as much as I'd love to do that all day and then go do a set at night. And that would be perfect. So it's hard to, and like, cause I love, like, that's why I majored in theater and film. Cause I love, mm-hmm. I love that part of it too. It's stand-up still impossible to beat. Mm-hmm. But you know, movies are cool.
Seinfeld got his show super young. And are you 24?
I'll be 24 on the 19th of July, so.
So you're only 23, yeah. And you're like, oh, well, I got to get on TV. Are you looking at the Seinfeld model like, well, if I don't do it young, then it's not going to happen?
Well, I mean, I knew I had a leg up starting early. So I was like, well, I don't want to start early and be like, well, I got plenty of time. I was like, well, let's take it seriously, you know. So I mean, obviously, and it's anybody, when they start stand-up, they're like, the day you start, you're like, well, I got 30 minutes, and I could feature there, and I'm really funny. I should be on Conan. Like, immediately, you're like, I'm really funny. Otherwise, well, you wouldn't do it if you didn't think you're really funny. So you're like, I'm really funny. I should do this. And it's like, oh, you're not good enough yet. And it's hard to tell yourself that, but I would like to do things, and there's, you know, just a couple things that have happened. I'm like, oh, I, and then, you know, a couple other things I'm trying to get to happen. And,
like what?
I mean, nothing I can really talk about, but just other things in that van. Like, I couldn't talk about Last Comic Standing for forever. Mm-hmm. But I mean, there's obviously, I'd love to do everything. Like, I'd love to be on any, I mean, not anything, but I just really love TV. I love the whole thing. So, I mean, whether it's a show or, like, Kyle Kinane doesn't have his own show, but mm-hmm. you see, he's on TV constantly, and he's great at just about every, like, he's on At Midnight, he's amazing. He's really funny on that show, and whenever he just does stand up, or, I mean, so I do love all the kinds, you know.
So when you get out to LA, is first thing, you got to get representation, you got to start emailing people your videos, what?
I mean, I'll probably do it the same way I did in Atlanta. Just every night, go out to a show, and you know, if it's an open mic or a book show or whatever. And I mean, last time I went out there and did shows, it was just insane. Mm-hmm. Like, the shows are awesome, and big crowds, and every show I did, I was just like, man, I can't believe they let me do this. This is, everybody else on the show is a big deal, and I mean, I love the stand up part, and like, you know. Things just seem to, if you are in front of the right people, you know, I don't have representation yet, but I mean, I think it'll happen when it's supposed to happen. But I mean, everything that's happened for me so far has just been from me either making someone laugh in person, or I sent them my video and they laughed. I think as long as you just focus on being funny, writing new jokes and getting on stage, I think other things will happen if they're supposed to. So hopefully things will happen the same way they've been happening here, but the beach will be there.
It'll happen if it's supposed to happen. There's that faith again.
Oh, yeah. I pray before every set. I pray for the crowd.
Besides performance, I mean, writing is a big thing. You have a great blog.
Oh, yeah.
You have a great blog, and you mentioned writing screenplays in high school. So, I mean, are you continuing to exercise that muscle as well?
Well, it's similar to stand-up. You suck at writing initially.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I started writing as soon as I mean, I've been writing my whole life, and they've all sucked. And it's just like stand-up. Like, I look at something I wrote 2 months ago, I'm like, ugh. Mm-hmm. Like, it's so embarrassing. And so I kind of, when I started doing stand-up, I would still write, but I would, you know, you're more aware of yourself once you start doing stand-up, and you know how people react to things. So anything I've been writing for the past couple of years, I've hated it so much immediately afterwards and just been embarrassed. So I do kind of need to have a little more faith and be like, yeah, this might be, you know. But so much of it has just brought me a lot of grief. But there's a couple things I've written recently that are pretty good for me. And I'm sure I'll hate them in a year. But it is fun still to write. But, man, you just can't beat being in front of a crowd. Mm-hmm. It's way more fun than sitting in a chair writing on your laptop.
When you say you have a few things you're happy about, is this feature length? Is this a pilot, a sketch?
Just other things that I might be, because last year when some of my friends got on Last Comic Standing, I was like, okay, maybe if that show happens again, maybe I could do that. And that was my goal, and it ended up happening. But for a long time, I was like, I don't know, that seems like a long shot. And there's things like that right now that are in the mix that mm-hmm. I don't want to tell anybody about in case they don't happen, then I'm an idiot. But there's a couple things like that I'm like, oh, man, if this works out, this would be really cool. But I'm realizing everything takes a long time. So you can kind of shorten that up by being in L.A. because it's like out of Atlanta doing things it's a lot of emailing and tape sending and, well, then when you're out here, we'll look. And so it will help being there for things, but you know, and it's so many things don't happen and so many things get canceled, so mm-hmm. you know, I remember Live at Gotham was awesome and then that got canceled. It's like, oh man, like, and I knew several people that were in line for the next thing for Live at Gotham and then it got canceled and they're like, I was about to have my first big TV thing and then the show gets canceled. So that's, and like, if Last Comic Standing had gotten canceled, I'd have been really upset. Because that was going to be, oh, man, I finally got to, you know.
Would you still be moving?
Probably, because I got, and it's also, it's a team effort, you know. I don't know if you know this, but you know Babs, my girlfriend?
I've met her, yeah.
She got the L.A. position with Sierra Nevada, the brewery. So, and that's been her goal.
Nice.
For the past few years, too, and so she is, if I felt like, oh, I don't know if I'm ready to move, she'd be like, well, I'll see you out there, buddy, because I'm not turning down. Like that, if you translated that to stand, that would be like getting, I don't, like Saturday Night Live or something. It's yeah. huge in her field. So she'd be going anyhow. She wouldn't be like, oh, well, tell me when you're ready. Like, she's like, I'm going now. Like, she just got the job.
So she's almost giving you the push to speed it up.
Well, it also happened to work out with a few things that this seems like the right time for me to move. But it's definitely the right time. Like, it is very apparent that she needs to be out there. And so that's also, I want to catch up to her. Like, for me to get to where she's at in beer, I gotta be in LA to get my career to her level. You know?
Wow. It seems like time is on your side, Caleb.
I hope so.
Is there anything else you want the world to know?
Oh, yeah. I don't know. Definitely, if you're a comedian, stop pretending that you're I know there are tortured souls, but I'm getting really sick of everybody jumping on the bandwagon because I'm not a tortured soul. And I see so many people pretending that they're, you know, it's like every athlete pretending they're Rocky. It's like, come on. Some of you are just, you just like football. It's not a, mm-hmm. you know, it's not a movie plot. And I've heard so many comedians like, ah, and I'm like, your parents paid for you to move and live in Manhattan. You're doing fine. What are mm-hmm. you like? Ah, oh, tortured. Get out of here. Like, I know you. I'm friends with you on Facebook. I see what it is. But
are your parents still helping you out?
No.
No.
They don't. They have more money than I thought they did, but they have a. They're very Republican. They're like, you earn your thing, and. We're like, they don't, they've never, I've never asked either, but they don't do that. They're not that those kind of people. They would be like, now you're just sucking off the teat. You're like they don't like. And I get it, you know. Mm-hmm. My dad still chops wood. He doesn't need to, but that's how he heats the house, is with a furnace with wood in it. So they're very, you know. And now they'd be like, oh, you're on TV. You don't need, like, even though you're not, just because you get on TV doesn't mean you're wealthy.
Right.
I'm still very poor, but yeah, they don't do that.
Well, please let the world know where they can find you so you won't be poor anymore.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, I got to pretend my career is going better.
You're moving to L.A.?
It's going. I can't really I'd sound like an idiot complaining because I'm thrilled about everything that's happening. But, yeah. Caleb Synan, S-Y-N-A-N. Caleb's with a C. That's my Twitter. It's my Instagram. I have a blog that I haven't updated as much recently, but I blog sometimes. And Last Comic Standing's July 22nd. So look out for me on that. And yeah, that's what it is. And Joel's podcast, you gotta listen to all of them.
Well, thanks for being a part of this.
Thanks, man.
All right, thank you, Caleb Synan. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
There you go, Hot Breath-a-verse. Welcome back. That was Caleb Synan's first interview almost 3 years ago. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope his parents still don't think L.A. is where the devil lives. But if you did enjoy this and haven't heard his follow-up interview, it is the one right before this. So definitely just hit next and you'll be able to hear where he is now and how far he's come. And hopefully you can hear how far this podcast has come, just in overall production quality and also interview quality and how far we have just come as a podcast. That's what's so fun about going back into the archives and playing these leftovers, is you get to actually see the growth in not only the guests, but also me and the podcast in general. So thanks for tuning in and hanging out and enjoying that. Next week, I gotta say, in the meantime, if you do want more Caleb, or just a lot of you have reached out saying you want more educational videos and interviews, or you want to hear more. A lot of you even said you want to hear more about me personally and not just the guests. So I created the Patreon page to do all of that, because I did start to post like the Type 5 podcasts on here. You can hear a couple of them. The rest of them are going over on Patreon, because that's really where we can interact. I can post them on the feed here on the podcast, but there's no way for us to like interact in real time. But over on Patreon, you're able to comment, and it kind of creates the community where we can interact one-to-one. So it's linked in the show notes, but it's patreon.com/hotbreathpod. That's really where the whole network is being built. I've expressed to you before the Hot Breath Comedy Network. So that is the beginning stages of it. So definitely get it on the ground floor. Start interacting with other hot brethren and sistren, and let's build together as we've been doing over on Patreon. Also, if you're into merch, we have a Hot Breath shop now. Merch, there's hoodies and socks, and shout out to Make Me Laugh Media. They bought a hoodie. You know, Steve Rivera bought a pair of socks, but that'll be linked in the show notes as well. If you're looking to get a t-shirt or a sticker or whatnot in time for the holidays, you still have... You're running out of time, but there is a little bit of time this week if you'd like to get on there and buy some hot merch. All right, I really reached for that one. But anyway, you know what the deal is. I add in all these things based on your feedback. So a lot of you are wanting merch, so now I've created a store for you. A lot of you are wanting more interactive content, so I created a Patreon for you. And Patreon, if you want to look at it, is also, I mean, you can subscribe for as little as a dollar. It's really whatever you find the content worth. What is it of value to you? If it's a dollar, hey, every little bit helps. If it's $20, hey. If it's $500, hey. But I know a lot of you are out there struggling comics, so every little bit you can contribute will help keep the podcast alive and building as we're doing here, because it is a job. For those of you who have tried to start a podcast or have a podcast, you know this is a full-time job. So stand-up comedy is one of my jobs. Podcasting is another completely full-time job. So whatever help you feel is worthwhile to contribute, and you've been thinking about it, and you're like, nah, I'll get around to it. Well, let's get around to it, peeps, because we're building a website right now, and that costs money, and it can't be finished until, you know, we come together. No pressure, though. No pressure. You can just listen to the podcast if you want, or follow us on social media at Hot Breath Pod. But next week's guest, in the theme of Thanksgiving still, is a health guru that goes by the name of Tierra Burrell. Tierra Goes Green is all of her social media. She has a huge following, and not only a huge following, but she is a savvy businesswoman. So this is not only going to be good in terms of, it can be annoying, like comedians are like, whatever, we just drink and smoke and that's our life, but I cannot stress to you enough, the health tips she has shared in this interview have helped me to actually take not only my comedy and my mental clarity and my overall productivity to the next level, but also her business sense is something we can all learn from. She's an inspiration. And I'm getting outside of comedy, but it's all still applying to comedy. So even when I interview social media people, it's all geared towards you, comedians, and how they can help you. The same thing with health. How can we eat on the road? That's a big topic of discussion we discuss, and snacking and just making those small, healthy changes, they're going to add up to the big difference, not only in health, but just mental health and really professional health. So that's a very exciting one. You guys are going to be in for a treat. So that is today's episode, though. Yes. So I love you so much. This has been fun. Shout out to all the comics in Nashville. I just performed at Zany's for the first time. I just got back into town. I'm recording this the day before the release, but there's a lot of good comedy out there, peeps, so stay connected. You know, interact with us on the Patreon page or on the Facebook group. That'll be linked in the show notes as well, but I can't thank you enough for all your support. Thank you to Amon Garner, the producer of this show, and of course, finally, as I always do, thank you to my wife, Erin Byers, for making the theme song and making me say this at the end of every episode now. So, that is all for today. Go forth. Hit that Patreon link in the show notes and let's hang out over there. But that being said, until next Monday, right here on Hot Breath. This episode of Hot Breath is sponsored by our Patreon. If any of our content has helped your comedy career, join our Patreon linked in the show notes and get positive comedy karma for life. Probably.